School closures during COVID are expected to be a flashpoint tonight in the second and final debate in the Kansas governor's race. But in some other competitive races around the country, candidates are having only one debate or none at all. And the Republican National Committee has already said that they are quitting the bipartisan commission on presidential debates. So what is going on here? John Hudak is a senior fellow with the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution. He has been watching the debate about debates unfold. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So it used to be that debates were a given in any political campaign cycle. Does it seem to you that something has fundamentally shifted here?
There's definitely been a fundamental shift. As you said, it was a given, it was an expectation that candidates at a variety of levels of government, from the presidential level down to House races, even state legislative races, would have debates as a primary way of introducing themselves to potential voters and for voters to hear their views on a variety of issues. But what we're seeing now is that an increasing number of candidates, not universally, but an increasing number of candidates are not seeing the same value in debates that they once did.
And you can see signs of this all around the country. It took weeks for Pennsylvania Senate candidates John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz to agree on a debate later this month. It was the same story in Georgia, where it didn't look like Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock were going to agree to the terms of a debate at any point. They eventually did. It seems that even the negotiations over how to debate, when to debate, even that has gotten tense. Why?
That's right. There's always been some tension about agreeing to the terms of a debate. We've seen that at the presidential level. The idea here is that candidates see different characteristics of a debate or different rules of a debate potentially favoring one candidate over another. And the more that that becomes a strategic consideration, the more that there's going to be arguments about it. So one candidate might want a certain set of topics to be off limits, and another may not. If they're unable to find that common ground or be willing to find that common ground, the knee-jerk reaction now is just to say no. And that's really robbing voters of an opportunity to see candidates in an unscripted setting.
Well, you're right, because in many places, debates are not happening at all. You're in Nevada. There will be no debate between the Senate candidates there. In Arizona, where I am, in the governor's race, the Republican Carrie Lake has been slamming her Democratic rival, Katie Hobbs, for saying no to a debate. Let's listen.
Katie, I'm speaking directly to you. You claim to care about the people of Arizona. Prove it. Debate me. You name the time, and you name the place. And to make things even easier for you, I will allow you to choose the moderator. Hell, I'll even let you write the questions.
Katie Hobbs says she doesn't want to do a debate because she doesn't want to take part in a spectacle with an election denier. She's even gotten a lot of heat from her own supporters who want to see her go toe-to-toe against Carrie Lake. Do you think the decision not to debate could backfire?
You know, I think for a lot of candidates, there are a variety of reasons why they may or may not want to debate. Secretary Hobbs has made a decision that she's going to use the debate setting to further communicate her views about her opponent's record and positions. But ultimately, I think it is a mistake for democracy to pull out of a debate. I think there's plenty of political reasons not to debate, particularly if you have an unqualified or underqualified candidate going up against a highly qualified candidate. I'm not saying that's necessarily the case in Arizona, though I do think that is the case in the Georgia Senate race. So there are plenty of reasons why a candidate might say, listen, I'm going to get embarrassed in this debate. There is no win for me to do it. That's a political consideration. But the reality is democracy needs debates. In states that candidates choose not to debate or candidates can't agree to debates, it creates a problem. It creates a situation in which voters are guessing what those candidates' views are and what those candidates will look like under a stressful situation. Without that debate situation, voters just don't know, and that's a real problem.
Just to play the skeptic here for a minute, though, you could make the argument what does it matter? I mean, we're at a point in politics right now where people cannot even agree on the facts. And I don't know if you saw the Ohio Republican Senate primary a few months ago when the candidate Josh Mandel and his opponent Mike Gibbons almost got into a fight and had to be separated by the moderator.
You don't know squat.
Two tours in Iraq. Don't tell me I haven't worked.
Back off, buddy. You're gonna die.
You back off.
Come on. Never. That'll happen.
Let's sit down.
Never.
So, I mean, what does it serve anybody if there is no debate happening at a debate?
Well, you know, I actually think that that situation that you played in Ohio is a great example of why debates are important. You're seeing candidate temperament right there. Is that the type of candidate who you want representing you in the United States Senate if you're an Ohioan? Or do you want someone who's able to be cool and calm under pressure? And so even though I think substantively that exchange provided nothing to voters, you have no idea what Mandel or Gibbons' views are on anything, you see who they are as people. You're pulling back the mask. This isn't a campaign commercial that's been on its 56th take. It's not a Facebook video that a candidate is reading off the script. You're seeing the real candidates there. And I think that's the importance of debates. As much as substance, as much as the views that are expressed, you get to see the person. And that's very important for voters.
This goes a lot higher than local races. Just a few months ago, the Republican National Committee said that it was pulling out of the bipartisan commission that has organized presidential debates for three decades, which, you know, the way I read it means there may not be presidential debates in 2024. Could that be?
Yeah, I think that's a huge mistake. And I think it's theatrics on behalf of the Republican National Committee. Now, ultimately, the decision to debate is the candidates, and it is not the parties. The party has said that they will sanction candidates who are interested in participating in debates. I don't know what those sanctions would actually look like. And also, the RNC is not going to sanction the Republican nominee for president because he or she chooses to debate President Biden if he chooses to run for re-election. But ultimately, I think that the optics of that right now might look good to the RNC, but the optics of it later on probably don't, particularly for a party that has spent a few years making arguments that President Biden is too old to do the job and questioning his mental acuity. It would look odd then for a candidate to be afraid to debate a person who the party describes as that. And so I think you'll see a reconsideration down the road. And if you don't, I think the failure to debate will ultimately be a real damaging choice, particularly among moderates and swing voters who tune into debates because they want to see those candidates because they haven't made their mind up.
Let's end on that thought then. Considering everything we've just talked about, is this then the beginning of the end for debates? And if it is, what do we lose as a democracy?
You know, I hope this isn't the beginning of the end. I think there's a lot of conversation right now about the value of debates, but oftentimes you understand the value of things once they've gone away. And I think if there is no presidential debate in 2024, I don't think that necessarily means there will never be presidential debates again. Voters want this. Voters expect this. And political arguments can be made against debates as strongly as they can be made in favor of debates. And I think our democracy, which is facing real challenges right now, needs as many benefits and as many promises to voters as we can offer. And debates are an important part of our democracy. And the failure to continue them would really be one additional disaster in a series of threats against our democracy that we've seen over the past several years.
John Hudak is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's Governance Studies Program. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.